On Monday, Republican lawmakers in Washington responded to President Obama's opening proposal in efforts to stop the country from plunging off the fiscal cliff in January. Obama's plan would reduce the deficit by an estimated $1.8 trillion over 10 years, in part by eliminating Bush-era tax cuts to the wealthiest Americans and through more than $300 billion in specific cuts to Medicare and Medicaid. House Speaker John Boehner dismissed the president's proposal as being from la-la land. The GOP plan released yesterday would preserve the tax cuts for the rich while claiming to raise about $800 billion in new revenue through eliminating tax loopholes and deductions. It would make unspecified cuts of $600 billion to Medicare and Medicaid, $300 billion in non-health mandatory programs, and another $300 billion from so-called discretionary spending. A plan that Boehner characterized as credible and deserving of serious consideration from the White House. James Horney, Vice President for Federal Fiscal Policy at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, says the good news in the GOP proposal is that it recognizes the need for more revenue.
The bad news about it is that the increase in revenues isn't as much as we need to put the budget on a sustainable path without cuts in spending that would be really harmful. And you can see that in this proposal because they have proposed spending cuts that I think really would cause harm. For instance, they propose $600 billion over the next 10 years in cuts in health programs, and that means either Medicare or Medicaid. And one of the problems with it, and one of the reasons I think it shows that cuts would actually be harmful, is they provide no details at all about how you get there. And if you're going to say that we can get $600 billion in savings from health programs, it really is incumbent on the person or people proposing that to lay out the details so we can have a debate about whether it makes sense or not. Similarly, in other mandatory programs, they're calling for savings of $300 billion with no information about where those cuts would come from. We think it's really hard to do more than about $300 billion or so in healthcare savings without really hurting people who depend on these programs.
One of the Republican proposals would be to reconfigure the way the cost of living adjustments are calculated. What would be the real impact of that?
Well, the impact of that is that it would reduce Social Security and other entitlement program benefits. It would also increase revenues because the change would apply to the adjustments that are made to various parameters of the tax code. This is a proposal that we think has some merit and that we have said could be something that could be part of a deficit reduction plan. It's based on the idea that generally the current method for calculating the cost of living increases probably overstates inflation a little bit. It's a question about whether it overstates it for older people or not, but generally overstates inflation a little bit. So given that we're going to have to try to reduce spending somewhat in coming years and decades, this may be one of the things we want to do. But if you're going to do it, there's some steps you need to take to make sure that the oldest Social Security recipients who would be most affected by this, or people who are on the Supplemental Security Income, which is the program that's for disabled people and the elderly with very low incomes, to make sure that they're not hurt. So while we think this is something that deserves consideration, you have to be very careful in doing it, not just assume that you can impose this and not have any problems.
The Republican plan says that it would generate $800 billion in new revenue through taxes, but their approach is to close loopholes and eliminate some deductions. Have they yet specified what loopholes they would close, what deductions they would eliminate, and is it feasible to achieve even the $800 billion that they're promising in new revenue that way?
They have not specified, and that's one of the things in all of the discussions recent months where there has been talk about using tax reform, that is limiting, getting rid of some of the tax expenditures to both raise revenues and lower rates. people haven't talked about exactly which tax expenditures they would limit or they would eliminate, because in fact they're almost all very popular, such as a mortgage interest deduction, deduction for state and local income taxes. And the fact that people haven't been willing to say, here are the things that I propose to cut, I think indicates just how hard it would be to get savings taking that approach. I think the Republicans are going to have to, at the end of the day, agree that we're going to have an increase in the tax rates for people with the highest incomes. But it'd be a big mistake to assume that we can raise the revenues needed. And I don't think the $800 billion over the next 10 years is as much as we need. But I think it'd be even hard to assume that you could get the $800 from the so-called tax reform because of the political difficulty of trying to enact these changes in the tax expenditures.
The Republicans are specifically and adamantly opposed to stimulus plans that are contained in the White House budget proposal. This would be things like mortgage relief, infrastructure, and extended unemployment benefits. How important could stimulus be to economic recovery and future revenues for the government?
It certainly is important for keeping the economic recovery going. We have had growth, but it's not nearly as strong as we would like. The unemployment rate is remaining stubbornly high. I think some of the things the administration has proposed, certainly extending the unemployment benefits and others, are really important, along with not having the automatic spending cuts that are currently scheduled to go into effect in January, expiration of middle income tax cuts that are supposed to expire in early January, not letting those things happen. And then I think some additional stimulus of the sort that the administration proposed, that in the short run get the economy going, and then a couple of years from now, as the economy has really gathered strength, then we do need to reduce deficits, both through increases in revenues, but also some reductions in spending.
Bottom line, how would you compare or contrast the feasibility of the Republican plan as compared to the White House proposals?
I think the White House proposal is much better from a policy standpoint, providing for the needs of the country, both in the short run and the long run, and in terms of fairness, asking higher income Americans to pay their fair share of the taxes. Now, feasibility, it's a political issue, and the Republicans still seem determined to say we can't increase tax rates and that we have to have really big cuts in spending. But I'm hoping that the president is compelling, as he makes the case to citizens of the U.S., as he did in the election, that in fact we do need a balanced approach like the one that he's talking about. And at the end of the day, the Republicans will realize that that's the approach the American people want and the country needs, and we'll get an agreement that makes sense.
James Horney is Vice President for Fiscal Policy at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. President Obama today flatly rejected the Republican proposal to avoid the fiscal cliff, insisting that he will agree to no deal that doesn't include an increase in tax rates on the rich.